Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Over the past couple weeks, we've been looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which the Apostle Paul revealed to the church in 1 Corinthians 12. These gifts of empowerment are still as available to the church and individual believers today as they were in the first century church. Our key scriptures we've been looking at are found in the book of Acts and the book of Galatians, besides here in 1 Corinthians. These scriptures point out that what happened on the day of Pentecost was not just a one-time phenomenon, not just for one day, not just for one period. It was just the start of the Holy Spirit's empowerment for the ministry of the body of Christ. And we've looked at in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, it says, "For the promise of the Holy Spirit is to you and for you and your children and to all and for all that are far away, even to and for as many as the Lord our God invites and bids to come to himself." That's the Amplified version. Acts 2:33, it says, "Therefore being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear." So what happened on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter was saying this is the fulfillment of the promise. What happened that day is the promise of the Holy Spirit. It's not just the Holy Spirit isn't just only involved in coming and residing on the inside of us and teaching us and guiding us and all the things that we looked at in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. But the Holy Spirit is to fill you to the point where you can be empowered to do ministry, because that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The church came out of the upper room where they were in hiding, where they were in prayer, because they were infused with the Holy Ghost. They were infused with power, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit to the point where they had to tell somebody about Jesus. And that's what they did. Amen? And that Peter says the promise of the Holy Spirit is what you're seeing and what you're hearing. Amen? And in Galatians 3:14, we look, says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The same Holy Spirit that was poured out upon those Jewish believers on the day of Pentecost was made available to Jews and Gentiles, everybody. That was a pretty weak amen right there. I know you're all just contemplating and meditating on that, what I said, but that is a spot for a great amen right there. Amen? The promise of the Holy Spirit. We should not only have a consciousness of the difference, that power makes in our lives personally, but we are to trust in the power of God to effect a change in the lives of others. We as a church need to have a consciousness of the power of God present in our services to effect a change.
Amen.
Amen? We are not called to be an audience. Or spectators. Amen? We are called to be the body of Christ, to be the army of God. The Spirit of the Lord anoints each and every one of us to participate. He wants each of us to wage war, to wage battle, and not just to watch. The importance of spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, must be emphasized rather than hidden out of sight and not discussed. Say, well, why don't we see more of the move of the Spirit of God? Because we don't talk about it.
That's
Amen? The Lord convicted me of that here. We are a word church, a spirit church. We don't talk about it enough. Amen? That's my fault. We'll correct that in the next coming year or two. Amen? But we need to talk about it. The spiritual gifts do the following. Remember, we are the body of Christ. We're to follow Jesus' example. A move of the Spirit of God, the gifts of the Spirit of manifestation, grabs people's attention. Amen? It opens the door for the preaching of the gospel to people. It brings glory to God. Shouldn't be anything that we're ashamed of or, oh, well, I don't know if we should do that or not. Why not? It brings glory to God through a manifestation of supernatural power, of supernatural moving of God. It validates the gospel message. Amen? We talk about God is good and God is powerful. And all we ever do is talk about it. We need to demonstrate it. Amen? It brings God's compassion. It demonstrates God's compassion in a real way for people who are sick, people who are oppressed, people who are possessed. Amen? You pray for somebody that's afflicted or oppressed by a spirit, it sets them free. Amen? And it destroys the works of the devil. It frees captives and it proclaims them their liberty and shows them where their liberty comes from and where true liberty is, that they don't have to remain bound anymore. Last week we looked at two gifts found in 1 Corinthians, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Two of what is commonly called the revelation gifts. Revelation means the making known of information. And I'm going to just quickly read what I have here. We're not going to spend much time here. But the word of wisdom, a word of wisdom is a word proclamation or declaration that's supernaturally given by God. It's not man's wisdom. It's not natural wisdom. It's not gained knowledge, all that. Its purpose is to meet the need of a particular future occasion or problem. Remember, a word of wisdom always concerns something in the future. We looked at several scriptures last week that talked about that. It's given to a person through words, visions, or dreams. It provides an understanding, an instruction, or what action must be taken. Hallelujah. The word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit that communicates past or present facts or events that cannot be known through our natural senses. They are revealed to the believer by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We witnessed that this morning. That was a word of knowledge that I had concerning somebody was having issues with their ear. If you noticed, I was ready to close. And the Holy Spirit, no. Got just quiet. The Lord wanted to do something. Amen. Amen? Yes. Sometimes we're too rapid to close. We need to just stay in that spirit, stay in that anointing there. And the Holy Spirit just gave that to me. That's a word of knowledge. That was a demonstration of the... I don't know anything about it. She told me she'd been to the doctor. Right? For hearing loss. I never knew that. God did, though. Yep. Amen. She's healed. Praise the Lord. That's a word of knowledge. It concerns people. It can be for healing, for edification, instruction, anything like that. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to look at, this morning at the third revelation gift. Here it's found in verse 12 or 10. And to another, the effecting of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the distinguishing of spirits. The third revelation gift is the discerning of spirits. It's the supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to perceive the source of a spiritual manifestation and determine whether it is of God, it's of the devil, or if it's just somebody operating in the flesh. You can tell that. The Bible does not say that there is a gift of discernment, but rather it states the discerning of spirits. Kenneth Hagin says this: the discerning of spirits actually has a more limited range of operation than the other two revelation gifts, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. That is because its revelation is limited to a single class of objects. That's spirits. The revelation that the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge brings is broader, and it applies to people, places, and things. The discerning of spirit gives us supernatural insight only into the realm of spirits. The discerning of spirits is seeing or hearing into the spirit world. It also reveals the kind of spirit that is in operation behind a supernatural manifestation. Some people operate in this gift more than other people. Some people never do operate in this gift. The word discerning in the Greek is the word dikrisis. It's a thorough judging. It means to distinguish, to separate out as to investigate, looking throughout, to examine, to question, to find truth. Just because you hear something doesn't mean that it's the truth.
Amen?
Amen?
Yep.
We must be careful that we don't confuse suspicion with deception or discernment. Suspicion is from the mind. How many of you are suspicious? Yeah. Amen. It's from the mind. It's not from the Spirit of God. We cannot be led by our suspicions. It causes trouble. We must be led by the power of the Holy Spirit. Discerning of spirits is not the gift of discerning the faults in other people.
True.
I've heard people use it in that context. Well, I discern something about them. Well, then you're suspicious and you're judging them. That's not what the gift of the discerning of spirits is all about. It reveals the kind of spirit behind that manifestation. Look at 1 John 4. 1 John 4. John 4:1-4 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Test the spirits. Amen. Know what behind the spirit. Now, I remember one time We were in a church service, and this gentleman had been to our church before. This is long before I ever pastored. But our pastor was out of town, and he invited this guy to come in, and we were downstairs with the youth. I was a youth pastor at that time, and they come down and said, "Hey, he wants everybody to come up front, and come upstairs." So we went upstairs, and immediately when I walked in, I went outside. Mike and Jan might remember this. Went outside, and I went around to the front, me and some of the boys. Bug flying around me. Some of the boys went out with me, and we come in the back, and we sat in the back pew. And as soon as I walked in the door, it was like, something ain't right here. Something is not right. And the guy's walking around, and he's grabbing people and kind of pulling them out. And he walks back to the back, and he says, "I like to come back to the back because that's where the sinners sit." And I'm sitting there, and I looked at him, and I'm like, "Go ahead, bub, just grab a hold of me." Because all the boys were sitting in here, and they were all like deers in the headlights, and a couple of them were mature enough to know, this ain't right, you know. And there was something there that, not saying it was the devil, but it was more that he was operating just in the flesh. And I'm not kidding you now. He had this little floor mat. You guys remember that? You don't remember, do you?
They blocked it out.
He had a little floor mat, like a welcoming mat. And I don't remember if it had anything on it. I think it did, but I can't say what it was. But he said, "You need to come up here and stand on this, because this is where the anointing is at. On the mat." The Word of God says it tests every spirit. There was something not right about this gentleman. So, and he had a little catchy saying, which I won't say because it would involves his name. But you've got to be careful about what you listen to. Amen? And I've been in other places where, I mean, there's some goofy stuff going on. And people are like, "Oh, that's the Spirit of God." And it's like, no, it's not. Because the only thing, if it's only drawing attention to you, it's not from God. Everything that happens should give glory to God and put people to God. Amen? They should be like, "Wow." There should be a reverence over you, and you should be like, "Wow, man, that's the Spirit of God. God is moving." Why? Because it points people to God. The only thing that was pointing that guy, it was pointing to himself and his floor mat. God wasn't getting any glory. Their people were freaked out. People were like, "What is going on here?" I got a phone call from the pastor the next day, and he said, "What in the world happened yesterday?" He said, "My phone has been ringing off the hook ever since I got home last night." And I said, "Well, it should be." And I told him, he's like, "Wow, what is going on?" I'm very protective about who gets up here. Yes. About who ministers. Mm-hmm. Amen? Bringing people in. I've seen people bring ministers in, time and time again, and it just gets weird. They just get weird. I don't know what it is. It's like they're trying to put on a performance. Test the spirits, whether it's man, whether it's the devil, whether it's God. You should train your spirit and know, but you've got guidelines about it. If it's pointing people to God and God's getting all the glory, all right. Amen. Look at Job chapter 4. Job chapter 4. We're just talking about discerning of spirits, not the actual gift in operation. We'll get to that. But we can know by what the Word says that we are to judge the spirits, whether it's what we're being taught, whether it's what we're hearing, amen, what we see, we should know. But here in Job chapter 4, it says, "Now a word was brought to me stealthily, and my ear received a whisper of it, amid disquieting thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, dread came upon me, and trembling, and made all my bones shake. Then a spirit passed by my face, the hair of my flesh bristled up. It stood still, but I could not discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes, there was silence. Then I heard a voice. Can mankind be just before God? Can a man be pure before his maker? He puts no trust even in his servants. Against his angels he charges errors. How much more those who dwell in houses of clay?" Who's that sound like talking there? Does that sound like God? A message from God? No. Because countless times in the Bible when people had visitations from a spirit or from an angel or a theophany of Jesus appearing in the flesh, what's the first thing that they say?
Fear not.
Fear not. It says here that this spirit came and started whispering things into his ear. And it started whispering things that weren't true. Amen? Putting fear and doubt. Just because you have a vision, just because you receive something from a spirit, you better make sure where that's coming from. Amen? Because there's people over on Wayne Avenue in Dayton at the mental hospital that have been listening to spirits and listening to voices their whole life. Yes. They gave entrance to it, started dwelling on it. Got to guard yourself. Amen? Discerning of spirits. If you hear something from the spirit, a spirit realm, something comes to you, and if it does not line up with the Word of God, you need to cast it down and forget it. Amen. Amen? If somebody, "I've got a word for you, brother, sister." If it doesn't line up with the Word, forget it. Say thank you and walk away and say, "Get off me. Get thee behind me, Satan." Forget it. Amen? Doesn't happen a lot anymore, but back in the 80s and 90s, there was a lot of people that had words for people. "I've got a word for you." "Well, I've got a word for you too. See ya." Right? Amen? I always tell people, don't just let anybody lay hands on you and pray for you. Amen. Seeing people get messed up. Some people got critters on them. And those critters want to jump off of them and jump on you. So I just don't know about that. Well, guard yourself. Just because somebody says something that lines up with the word and is true doesn't mean that their motivation is true. Look at Acts chapter 16. You got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and know what's going on. Acts chapter 16:16-18 says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now, is what she's saying the truth? Yes. What she was saying was the truth. But what was the motivation behind that? It was for a potential gain for her handlers. Amen? These men are the servants of the Most High God. It says that she did this many days, but Paul being grieved. Yes, that's what it really means in the Greek. Was he just got to the point where she just annoyed the daylights out of him. And finally, he just turned around and he said, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. You know, down here, you've got the witness of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Have you ever been someplace where somebody said something to you and it's something like, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is like, "Nah, nah, nah, nah. Nope." I've been in a couple places where I've almost got up and walked out, but I was sitting on the front row. So it would have been really apparent to everybody. If you get that check, we call it a check or whatever, a witness, if something ain't right, what they're saying, you got to guard yourself. Amen? You know, you've got the whole, He leads you and guides you into all truth. Just because she was speaking a truth doesn't mean she was full of the truth. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 13. Got to look behind people's motivations. What are they doing? What are they there for? Acts chapter 13, 6 through 12. "And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." So here is Paul discerning spirits here. He knew the spirit that was behind this sorcerer. Amen. Says he was a false prophet. Paul seen it, recognized it, pronounced what he did upon him by the Spirit of God. Don't go around cursing people and saying they're going to be blind. Amen. But what happened at the end was that God got the glory and somebody got saved. Amen. You can be in a situation where there is evil spirits around you trying to hinder that. You can take authority over that and bind them in the name of Jesus and tell them to shut up. You don't have to say it out loud. You can just say it. And go on and do what God's called you to do there. Amen? Discerning of spirits must be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you and to guide you and direct you. Now remember, seeing into the spirit realm is the discerning of spirits. We can test the spirits. We can have discernment. We can know what the spirit is behind something. But there's times when the Spirit of God will come upon you, and if you operate in this gift, then you will see into the spirit realm. You will see things. Amen? I remember one time in particular, it's happened to me a couple of times, three times maybe, but one time in particular, we were ministering, and Pastor Karen, and I was praying for people, and Pastor Karen was just going behind me, and you felt like that the Lord told you to go back and love on that one lady in particular. So, she went back and she's hugging this lady who came up and was wanting prayer, pray for. I can't remember what she was praying for. Peace or something. I think that's what it was. She had anxiety and peace. She needed peace. And when I pray for her, sometimes you pray for people and you can feel the power of God there. Other times it's not so much. And other times it's like just laying your hand on a cold wall. They're resisting. Well, I'm praying and I move on down and I'm praying for people. And all of a sudden, she screams no and shoves Pastor Karen away. At the same instant that she screams no, I looked at her by the Spirit of God and I seen this little thing sitting on her shoulder. That it had its arm around like this. His, literally, I wonder what it was. It's his arm around her head, and he was like this. It was about this big around, about that tall. Don't remember much else about him. I just see him. And so I went back over there very quickly, grabbed a hold of her head, and I cast that thing out and told it had to leave, to get out in Jesus' name. It fell off and it ran out the back door of the church. And you may think, wow, that's pretty bizarre. But that's the discerning of spirits. Amen. Another time I was praying for a young lady. She was delivered. She was sitting there. Everybody was all happy. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to watch her. Look at her. And you could tell that she was starting, that thing was coming back, and she was entertaining it again. And I could tell, just by looking, discerning of spirits, I knew that
she was taking it back. I got on my knees right in front of her, and I grabbed a hold of her face, and I started yelling at her. I said, "What are you doing? You're taking it back. Quit. In the name of Jesus." And she was like, shook her head. And then she was fine. And it was one of them times where you just have to, just because everything looks good, you better be listening to the Spirit of God and discerning what's going on, because I knew that Spirit was trying to come back. Nobody else in the room knew what was going on. Oblivious to what was going on. So, if you're used by this, you may never be used by this gift and used by the Holy Spirit in this way. But if you are, just want you to know what to expect. Amen? You may see something there. It shouldn't cause fear in you. Amen? There was no fear involved when I was praying for these people and I seen that thing. It was just immediately the Holy Spirit on the inside of me rose up and whoo, I was here. Never moved that fast in my life. It was like, it's over here. Amen. That's why you need to realize that the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is using you. He wants to manifest himself through you to take care of an issue. Amen. Not to show how spiritual you are or how anointed you are. It's to deliver somebody and to set somebody free. Yes. Because there may be times you could be praying for somebody. We were praying for healing for her, right? We were praying for healing, praying for deliverance. We didn't know what I was praying for when I prayed for it the first time, but that Spirit of God revealed it to us, to me, that that's what it was. It was caused by a spirit. There are some sicknesses that people we see in the Word of God. Remember the woman that was crippled and Jesus set her free because she was bound by a spirit of infirmity. You may be used in that way by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God may show you that it's not a physical thing, so to speak. It's a spiritual thing. That person has a spiritual problem. They're being oppressed by the devil, and that's what's causing the sickness. Remember the epileptic child, the lady with that crippled lady? There's other accounts in the Word of God where people, their sickness was caused by that rather than a physical ailment. So when you operate in the gifts of discerning of spirits, you will see that. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. Sometimes you don't even need to have the Holy Spirit reveal it to you, because people will just let you know. And sometimes people want to hold on to that spirit. And there's nothing you can do. Nothing. So you just got to just move on. It's not a failure on your part. If somebody doesn't want to change, if they like that, there's nothing you can do for them until they get to the point. Amen? People get messed up.
I remember one time we went to see this lady. Her family asked us to go see her. And so me and a couple guys that I knew, we went to see her. And she sat over in the corner and she just glared at me. And I was sharing with her and I said, you know, Jesus Christ, He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And she said, "No, He's not. Avery is." And I looked at her and I said, "That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. And you know it, and I know it." I said, "There's only one King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that's Jesus Christ." And I don't remember everything else I said, because it was under the unction of the Holy Ghost. And she just sat there and she just glared at me. She wouldn't talk to us. I was wanting that thing to manifest itself. But it wouldn't. Because she wouldn't let it. And even if it had, she didn't want to get rid of it anyway. She enjoyed it for some reason. Made her feel special. I don't know. People get messed up. She got messed up going to deliverance services. Down Dayton. Going to these deliverance services all the time. She ended up not getting delivered. She ended up getting bound. You got to test the spirits. Amen. To know whether they're true or not. And some people, oh, I don't believe that stuff. Well, that's fine. But it's real nonetheless. Your denial that the spirit realm is real isn't going to stop the spirit realm from existing.
That's right.
Amen. But we as believers in Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, needs to know that you've got the power to handle a situation when something manifests itself like it did that day in that lady's instance and that young girl's instance. Amen? You need to know that you've got what it takes because of who's on the inside of you.
Amen.
Amen. So I just never could do that. Don't say never. Because you might be put in a position where you're the one there. The Spirit of God is moving. Amen. You need to know how to handle it. Don't get goofy. No, oh, well, maybe you might, if I pray, he might disappear. No. You take authority over it and you command that thing to go. You've been given the authority to use the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name.
Amen.
And you can cast that thing out and tell it to get out and not come back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for these gifts of the Spirit. Father, we thank you for opening our eyes and helping us to see things, Lord, and to understand things. Father, it's my heart's desire that as we share these things, that people's faith would be strengthened, people would be encouraged to step out and do what you've gifted them to do. Father, I thank you for just bringing these things to our remembrance and helping us to recall these things, to boldly step out in faith when needed. Just thank you for that. Praise you for that. And we just give you all the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.